Amen. We're talking about the true goodness of God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, because you have heard it said that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. We want you to know this morning that God is good is not good enough for how good God is. The goodness of God is greater than good. And this morning we know that when we talk about something being too good, it is for something to be at a higher degree than that is desirable. A higher degree than that is desirable. Is on another level when something is too good. Whenever you use that word too, amen, it's on a higher degree than is desirable. We know that the aim of our sermon is for God not to be overlooked. The aim is for God not to be overlooked. Amen. Because of his goodness, we don't want God to be overlooked. And as we think about that, we know that there are some things that are just too good. Some things are just too good. Amen. You can think, I'm sure, of a number of things, but I think about ice cream. Amen. Bluebell specifically. Amen. Bluebell ice cream is just too good. Amen. Bluebell ice cream is just too good. And when I think about being included, people want to be included so bad till it's irresistible. They'll do anything. They'll wear their pants down and expose their shorts. They will turn their heads around and wear it backwards. Because if it means I'm included, if it means I'm accepted, even if God says no to it, I want it so bad. I'm so concerned. It's so important to me to be included. Until being accepted is too good, even if I be rejected by God, I'd rather be accepted by man. And peer pressure among our young people is something that they give in to, they cave into, because it makes them feel so good to be like everybody else. Amen. And it's to the point to where they would do whatever is necessary. But when I think about Emmanuel, I think about God. The Bible says his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God is good. He's too good in the fact that when you think about the service that we have in worship, when you think about the word of God being shared, I think about it's just too good. The worship of Emmanuel, who is God. God with us. Emmanuel. You get in the church and you get in the spirit and the Holy Spirit started moving and he puts you on another level and you begin to feel and experience the presence of God. Somebody wrote a song about it. They said, blessed are the generous. Jesus is mine. It's a foretaste of heaven on earth. A good church worship service by which God is present, and you know he's present. You can sense his presence. And it's so good, it's like, can we just stay here on this mountain where the Spirit is? Can we just stay in that foretaste of glory divine? I think about the word, not only worship, but the word. When you think about God's worship, God's word, David said, God's word is sweeter than the honeycomb. Honeycomb's already sweet, in case you. But he said, he wrote a whole number, the 119th number, writing about the word. Thy word feeds my soul. I love the word so much. I still want to read the Bible when I get to heaven. I still want to read the Bible. I still want to read it. It's something wrong if you don't have an appetite. Something wrong if you can leave the word of God alone. It feeds your soul. David said it's just like honey or the honeycomb. It's sweeter than honey. Well, whether it's ice cream or inclusivity or whether it is Emmanuel, some things are just too good. They're just too good. And so we all know the Psalm of David. The 22nd Psalm is known as the Good Shepherd, and the 23rd Psalm, he's actually known as the Great Shepherd, but in the 24th Psalm, he's known as the Chief Shepherd, according to most devotional commentaries. But we know that David makes a statement. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's talking about Almighty God. He said, the Lord is my. Can you say that? Are you one of his sheep? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say he's my shepherd? Amen. Amen. He is my. That's what David says. He said, the Lord is. He didn't say he's your shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is their shepherd. He didn't even say the Lord is the shepherd. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He made it personal. And it's important as you look at this psalm, no matter how beautiful it is, you got to make the Lord your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? He's the one who I'm following. The shepherd with that rod, and you see the shepherd moving, and all the sheep follow right behind the shepherd. He looks back and he calls on his shepherds. He know all his sheep by name, and my sheep know my voice, and he got all his sheep together. The Lord is my shepherd. And he says, I shall not want. That's what he says. I shall not want. One translation says, I shall not be in want. That's how good he is. Isn't he good? Amen. Not just what I need. I shall not want for nothing. Because he's my shepherd. Now that's good. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He takes me through the green, rich grass. The green. This grass is not brown. This is good green grass. Amen. Amen. And he leads me beside the still waters, the waters where there's no roaring, where there's peace and tranquility. I'm by the still water eating green grass. Sheep love to do that. They're eating that green grass by still waters. They're not worried. He restoreth my soul. Amen. He restores me. When I mess up, he restores me. My soul, physically and spiritually. This is not just talking about, sustenance, but it's talking about he restores me spiritually. When I mess up spiritually, he restoreth my soul. And he leadeth me in the pathway of righteousness. He puts me on a righteous path for his name's sake. And even if I'm walking through the valley of the shadows of death, the shepherd would sometimes have to leave the sheep, find themselves going through dark places. Amen. Down deep in the valley where there's is darkness. Amen. Those jagged rocks and those cliffs. Amen. You could, going down through that valley, you could get hurt down there because it's dark. Amen. And it's dangerous and even deadly. I can be led through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. Although I'm close to death. Amen. In the midst of death, I don't have no fear. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod, it protects me. Thy staff, it comforts me. That rod can be used as a defensive weapon to fight off wolves and fight off others that may try to come in and harm the sheep. But that staff can also be used to get the sheep in line, to keep all the sheep from that crook. If you get off too far, he can pull you back into the fold. Amen. If you wander off too far out, he can kind of paddle you back into the, amen, that staff comforts you. But those are words of, those are strokes of comfort, lest I hold you too long. Amen. Amen. He leads me, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He prepares a table before me. Amen. God says, I'm going to give you a feast right in the midst of your problems. I'm going to give you a feast. I'm going to prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Don't be trying to get rid of your haters, because God's going to let your haters see you bless. He's going to get you right in the midst of your haters and let them see you doing real good. Amen. He's going to put salt in their wounds. Amen. He's going to say, I'm going to bless them. You're their enemy. But if you're an enemy of theirs, you're an enemy of mine. Amen. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prepare a table. I'm going to set the table, a banquet. He's going to have a feast out there in the pastures. Amen. Right in the midst of all the wolves around him, all the death around him. But right there, I'm going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemy. He's going to get to see it. And I'm going to anoint your head with oil. That was customary for those, how they greeted their guests. And they would pour oil on their head and they would anoint their head with perfume. And it was done to Jesus. Amen. When you study in Matthew 26, verse 7, you find out that Jesus, the woman came and she poured some oil on Jesus' head. It was customary to anoint their head with oil. And it was also customary to anoint their feet or to wash their feet when they come in from a trip. But he anointed their head because that woman knew that this was Mary of Bethany. She was preparing his body for burial. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you know, in Luke chapter 7 and verse 46, he said, when I came in, neither one of y'all anointed my head. You disciples, ain't nobody anointed my head. Y'all didn't touch me. But this woman anointed my head. She welcomed me. She anointed my head with oil. Also could mean, make relevance to, if the sheep got hurt and they needed some ointment on them, they could be healed, and God would oil their wounds. He anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup, this is the cup of joy here. It's the cup of wine, is a symbol of joy. And here the reference is to the joy of the Lord. Amen. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And then he gets to this part. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What about this sureliness of David? How could David say surely? What made David say surely? Amen. What made David say surely? We think about David. We think about David made an amazing discovery. David said surely. Amen. Amen. David discovered something. What do you think made him say that? When he thought about God being his shepherd. When he thought about it, what would make David say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me? One translation says, he says, certainly goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This sureliness of David meant that God was blessing him and that God was too good for words. Oh, yes, it did. That's what it meant. Because we see David, we see the devotion also that God had. What was the devotion? We know David discovered that surely goodness. What did you discover, David? I discovered that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm trying to rush this and get us out. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. David says that this goodness is the Lord's goodness. One translation, the New Living Translation, say your goodness will follow me. It's not my goodness. It's his goodness. Why David so blessed? He says, your goodness. Your goodness and your mercy has blessed me. Amen. Your goodness. It's not based on my goodness. David, are you sure he's talking to you, David? Because you do know, David, that you did commit murder. You did murder a man. You murdered an innocent man and you took his wife. Are you sure, David, that he's talking to you? You do know, David, that David had gone out, and what David did was he saw a woman that was so beautiful that he would do anything to get her. Oh, she was beautiful. He couldn't take our eyes off of her. And he found out, though, that, oop, there's a problem, David. Oops, what is it? She's married. Oh, no. She's married. I mean, I'm crazy about a woman. I want a woman who's married. Well, I'm the king. I can fix that. David is the same one that slipped a note to Joab and told him that when her husband gets go out to battle tomorrow, I want you to make sure that he's on the front line. And when the battle gets real hot, I want y'all to desert him. Yes, I do. Leave him out there by himself and just let the arrows get him. And that'll be the end of Uriah. David was a murderer. David took that man's wife. Is this a little too deep for y'all? Y'all got your halo. See, now this is the part of the service. You got to take your halo off now, see. Can't be no halos. Unplug your halos. I know you got. You see, and he impregnated somebody else's. Can I? Is that? Amen. And so what happened was, amen. He made her his wife. David was a low down. David is. And he took his another man's wife, made her his wife, and had a baby by her. And so now he's committed adultery. He's committed murder and adultery. And he let her son become Solomon. We talked about Solomon last week. Her son. He wrote books in the Bible. Her son became the wisest man on earth. God, now I believe you ought to be good, but if you're going to let a man who murdered somebody and somebody who takes another man's wife and have a son and let her son become famous, I know you good, but now you are. That's what he did. Folk don't like it because God's so good. Some folks say, well, Lord, I can't believe you let them. Don't you know what kind of reputation they got? Don't you know they where they been? Don't you know all those tattoos they got? God will take somebody out of the club and make them run circles around me up in the pulpit. You think I'm joking? He's just that good. You and I both know David need to be under the jail. The baby died. Death was brought to the family. But God still took all of the ugliness. And David discovered that it's really not because of me, but it's because of God's goodness. It's not my goodness. I'm not worthy. I can't cancel myself out. I can't rule myself out. You can't rule nobody out. Don't rule nobody out now. God can touch Saul. You remember Saul of Tarsus? Saul made a living killing folk. He was killing Christians. It was his day. He got up every day. The Bible says he was breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And God made him the number one apostle. You done murdered all these folk. I know you're good, God, but now I'm beginning to think you were just... Theologians call it the word ineffable. I-N-E-F-F-A-B-L-E-L-E. Ineffable. That means that you're too good to really be expressed with words. That's why they say God, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You can't really, God's name is even above, but God is such a good God. He is just too good. David says, surely I made a discovery about God's devotion and that it's God's goodness and mercy. You know where that come from? Verse number 3, where it says, That he says that God restoreth my soul and he leadeth me in the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. God's name is on the line, and he is determined that he's going to take care of you and that he's going to bless you if you are one of his sheep. And God is doing it not so much because of you, but because of who he is. It's not that we are good. I'm not up here because I'm good. I'm up here because he's good. And it is the goodness of God. A lot of people don't like it, but do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 2, it says, don't despise the riches of his goodness. Don't get mad at it. I know you want to. You know, you get God so good, you know, he said, don't despise the riches of his goodness. You remember that man that Jesus went out and hired? He hired a man at the third hour and he agreed to pay him a penny a day. And then another man came. He hired him about the sixth hour. And then another man came. He hired him about the 11th hour. Pretty soon everybody was fitting to get paid. You know what God did? He paid them all the same. Now, the guy that had been there first came, and he came up there and said, now, Lord, now, I think you got something twisted here because I've been here first. I was here the third hour. This guy came in the 11th hour, and he going to get paid? We all getting a penny? Seems like I only got 3 pennies. He getting a penny like me? And Jesus told him, he said, friend, you know, Jesus is so cool, you know, he just called him friend. I'm trying to think of where I found that at, amen. Amen, it's somewhere in my notes. He said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didn't I agree to pay you a penny a day? Yeah, well, take your penny. He said, take that as thine and go on about your business. And then he made another statement. He said, now, is your eye evil because I'm good? Is your eye evil? Amen. Are you hating on me just because I'm just a good? I'm good. I know, Jesus, now I understand you good, but if you're going to pay this guy, and I done worked here longer than him, you're not only good, you don't know anybody run over you like that, Jesus. You don't have to do all that, but that's the way he is. That's the way he is. And then those who had been, I hate to use this word, but they were kind of wicked in their practices, in their dating habits, and so they would even, you know, date the same gender. And he said, now, don't get mad at me. When you read the riches of God, he says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he said, don't get mad at the riches of God. Don't get mad at the riches of his goodness. Don't get mad because God is too good. Don't get mad at it. He says, because it is the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. God says, don't get mad. It's the goodness of God that brings people to him. He's so good till he won't let you go. He won't let you go. You can go out and do whatever you want to do. God still ain't going to give up on you. He's so good. He's so good until it is the goodness of God that brings a person to repentance. As I go to a close here, the fact of the matter is that God is just a good God. We need to be some good people. Jesus asked the man, he says, your eye evil because I'm good? He said, now just because you bad don't mean I'm supposed to be bad. Because you wouldn't do it don't mean God wouldn't do it. God is just that kind of a God. He'll forgive those who don't deserve it. He'll love the unlovely. He'll help the unhelpful. God is not like us. Aren't you glad of that? God is not like us. God won't give up on us. He's just too good to people.